Following are excerpts from Blair Lentz's 1973 Caldecott Medal acceptance speech, pre-recorded for Weston Woods.
The first time I saw a Caldecott Medal, it was made of metal foil, and it was on the jacket of one of my favorite picture books, Virginia Lee Burton's The Little House. I used to pick at the edges and run my fingers over the embossed horses, the geese, and the dogs that ran across it. So, at a time like this, I feel very, very good. And I want to thank Priscilla Moulton and the Caldecott Committee and the librarians and children who've responded to my work for helping me know that what I've been trying to do has been noticed. Picture books are a very special medium for me. They're unlike other books. I like to write, and I've written some of the books I've illustrated, but most of all, I like to make pictures. I think of the picture book especially as a shared experience. An older person reads aloud from it, talks with a child about it. It's a unique medium that can adapt itself completely to the reader. You can skip pages, go backwards, study one page endlessly. A good picture book lasts a long time, with pages full of details to explore again and again. They're like old friends, perhaps reminding you with that water stain of a day you were reading on the beach, or with that smear of gravy of the day you couldn't even stop reading for dinner. You can even take a book to bed with you and read it under the blankets. At a time when what we see around us gets uglier and uglier, a picture book can be one of the first things of quality a child can have, and it may influence his attitude toward how he feels about what he sees. Regrettably, high production costs have made books expensive. But since they are expensive, they should be well made. It can be disappointing to look at a picture book and sense that the colors have been reproduced incorrectly, and the line drawings have lost their character. A book with paper so thin that you can see through one page to the next. Or with ugly, clumsy side-stitch bindings that make it a struggle to hold the book open. I wish people who buy and write about books would be aware of these flaws and let publishers know they are aware of them. The first time I saw a paperback picture book, I shuddered. After the initial shock, and after more paperback picture books appeared, I realized that they could also be well produced, and that it would even be interesting to design some picture books from the very beginning with only the paperback format in mind. Of course, there still is a place for picture books with rich cloth covers and a feeling of permanence about them, but there's no question that books are in the process of change. Alvin Toffler, in Future Shock, writes about the acceleration of change in contemporary life. There was a time when change was slow, barely noticeable in a lifetime. But failure now to face the rapid technological and social changes can leave a man behind. What will books be like 10 years from now, or even a year from now? Think about it. All of us here like books and believe in books. I believe there might be a danger in thinking they should stay exactly the same. But these are worrisome times for books, because of high production costs and economic conditions. But these can also be challenging times. They can be imaginative times for everyone involved to explore new ways to make and distribute books, whether they are cloth-bound or carefully printed paperbacks. Anyway, right now, it does feel good to be doing what I've always wanted to do, making picture books. There was a time when I thought I might never begin, and a dark time when I had trouble going on. Anne Durrell sent me Arlene Moselle's spirited words during that dark time in my life. Mrs. Moselle's comical adventures of the funny little woman lifted my spirits. It's an important book for me because I finished it, after many years of not being happy with or able to complete any work at all. Anne Durrell was the right editor at the right time, and her friendship and involvement with the growth of the book was vital to its completion, and to my being able to work again. Not all of the books I have worked on have moved as well as Funny Little Woman. There are still books lurking in my studio that I've been unable to come to grips with, just like some of the paintings with their faces to the wall that I've yet to finish. Other books that I have been able to finish have been almost unrecognizable to me after they have been printed. One of the greatest difficulties for an illustrator is that his work is interpreted by photographic processes and machines. Either the people who run the apparatus enhance the work or come near to destroying it. But whenever I've worked with Hilda Scott, who is art director for The Funny Little Woman, I haven't worried. She has. It is hard to say what part of the design of the book is Hilda's and what part is mine, because I've worked with her before, and her ideas have strongly influenced my own. She's one of the really fine book designers, and her influence has been very much apparent in all the field. I feel picture books can gain or fail depending upon the people involved. There really should be a list somewhere in a book naming all the people who are part of that book, especially when you feel happy about the contributions they've made. Mimi Caden, whom so many of you know, and Dave Zabel should be counted among the people I worked with at Dutton. I'll never forget the time when Dave, who is the production manager, shouted, "Stop the presses!" and a large monster of a press was halted, and the book was delayed for a long time because it wasn't printing the right way. That's the sort of production manager illustrators dream about. Although I've been making picture books almost all of my life, ever since I was little, this year marks the first decade during which my work has been published. It was 10 years ago this summer that Emily McLeod of Atlantic Monthly Press saw something in my work, encouraged me, then published my first picture book. That same summer, Walter Lorraine gave me a chance to illustrate a picture book for Houghton Mifflin. My Boston friends, Emily and Walter, they were part of the beginning, and they've been part of many of my books ever since. It has been good to have been able to express with my work the way I feel about things. And it is good to be able to try to express these feelings to children, just when they're beginning to think about the world around them. Sometimes I feel a little guilty because I'm not more involved in some of the changes I'd like to see taking place in the world. But in another sense, I am involved, for I feel that picture books can be a way of showing a child some of the things an artist thinks are important in life, a way of getting ideas to children in their formative years. I'm happy if one part of a book I've illustrated has affected the reader, if one idea has perhaps begun to form from it, so that the reader will see beyond the illustrations, perhaps to things I haven't even shown. I've received drawings from children that they've made after experiencing a picture of mine, and the ones I like best are those that look nothing at all like my illustration. I guess what I really want to do is tickle the imagination. So I talk about the acceleration of change and keeping up with it, but I also believe in trying to keep alive some of the magic in a world that has less and less magic. The Funny Little Woman is completely absurd. Although you might say, at least when she's in her house above ground, that she's a liberated woman. And when she ridiculously becomes the richest woman in all Japan, it really doesn't make that much difference in her life. She continues to live in the same small house. However, she does buy herself a new blue kimono, and I'd like to think the bulk of her wealth has been donated to the betterment of education and to purchase funds for libraries. The way things are going, we could use a funny little woman like that in this country.